Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. We will begin with Hashem Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. Amud Aleph, second line of Halal. Our Mishnah said that the Halal, which we'll see in a moment what it is, combines together with the meat of an animal that's Tameh for Tumas Eichlin, as we'll see soon, and maybe even sometimes for Tumas Nevelis. So the Gemara immediately asks, "My alal? What is the alal?" Rav Yochanan Amartika. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos what the Martika is. Rashi says it's the veins around the neck and around the spine that are hard and inedible, and therefore cannot be considered an oichel on their own. Tosfos says it's dead flesh, which is normally cut away from the animal, and that's what the halal is. In fact, the Rishonim asked the Rashi's opinion that it's these veins that are totally hard and edible makes no sense. That why should it be considered an oichel to combine for Tumas Eichlin? So the Rishonim already answered the Tosfos Rosh in defending Rashi's opinion, explains, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, that sometimes we have parts of an animal that are inedible on their own, but when combined with the other part of the animal, have some sort of chashivas that they could combine. Rish Lakish, however, has a different interpretation of the halal. He says, it's basar shepaltu seisakin. When the butcher is cutting off the meat from the hide, sometimes there are pieces of meat left, and that's what the halal is. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Iyov. Iyov is speaking to his colleagues who attempt to console him for all of the trials and tribulations we know that Iyov experienced. And the Pasuk says that Iyov says to them, V'ulam atem toifle sheker, all of you are saying lies. Roifi alal kulchem, all of you are saying things that are like the alal. Your consolation and your attempt to heal me is meaningless. Makes the Gemara's point. Mishlam l'mandam amartika, according to mandam that says that the alal is the martika, so we could understand, hainad ala barafuhu, because as we said, the alal are these inedible veins that are useless. El l'mandam abosa shepalta sasakin, it's these pieces of meat that are left over, barafuhu, as we're going to learn later in this parak. Under certain circumstances, if the meat is detached from the animal, so it makes a difference how it was detached. If it was detached because the butcher cut off that meat can't be reattached to the flesh, to the skin. But if it was taken off by an animal, it could still be healed. So why is, the definition, as Rish Lakish says of halal, is meat that is cut off, so why is Eev saying it's useless? There is hope for such meat. Says the Gemara, therefore, Balal the Kraw, the Kulam Leplegi. When we speak about the halal that the Pasuk calls halal, everybody agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's definition, that it's the Martka, which is totally useless. Ki Plegi, where is the Machlaikis? Balal the Masnissen. The Machlaikis between Shlokish and Rabbi Yochanan is relevant to the halal that our Mishnah discusses. What is the definition of that halal? So, the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah quoted the opinion of the Tanakhama that said that the halal could only combine for Tumas Eichlin, not for Tumas Nevelis. Rabbi Yehuda takes the following opinion regarding the halal. Halal hamachunis. If the pieces of the halal are left on the hide, im yesh kezayis b'makam echad, chayov nalav. If there's in one spot that much meat, then you'll be chayiv for that halal. And here too we have a machlokes rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, how to define the Mishnah, how to explain the Mishnah. Rashi says that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying here is that if you have halal, both, if you have halal that equals a kezayis, v'amrav huna, v'husha kinsay, and you deliberately want that meat, and we'll discuss Rav Huna's opinion extensively in Mitzvah Shemen tomorrow's shiur, that is a proof that halal should be considered a nevela. So Rashi says, what does Rav Huna mean? Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda is actually coming to teach us two halachas. One halacha is that it's considered a nevela, that if you eat that meat, it's considered that you ate nevela. And number two, Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda means to say that if you intend to keep the meat, it's going to have the tumas nevela. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says that meat like this should be considered nevela. We don't need Rabbi Yehuda to say it. It's regular nevela meat. So why would I need Rabbi Yehuda to say it? Therefore, Tosfos says that it only is referring to the halacha of tumah. That we know that hilchas tumah are unique halachas, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda is being mechadish. That if you leave a kazayis and you want that kazayis, as Rabbi Yehuda says, then I'll have tumah. But to tell us that there's an isser achila, I don't need Rabbi Yehuda to say so. What pushes Rashi into his position? Because let's look at the wording of Yehuda. Chayovin. If all Rabbi Yehuda was speaking about was tumah, as Tosfos suggests, Rabbi Yehuda should have said tumayim. Why does he use the word chayovim? Chayovim is a word that's used for issa v'heter. That's what pushes Rashi into his opinion. So how does Tosfos defend himself? Tosfos says, 100% correct. Since the main point and the only point, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we're discussing is the tumah of this halal, the Mishnah should have used the word tumayim. But if the Mishnah would have used that word tumayim, we could have come to make a mistake that it means only tumah derabanan. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't just mean that it's tumah derabanan, it's tumah deraisa. So to avoid that mistake, he uses the word chayovim, which is a word that denotes a deraisa. So now the Gemara makes its point relevant to our shir. Bishlam l'mandama basa shapatos l'sakin. According to the mandama, that the definition of alal is the meat that's left over. So that's, we can understand Rabbi Yehuda's statement very well. Ha'an adikika kazayis. So Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that we have a kazayis of alal. Yimachayiv for nevela, for tonimus nevela. El mandam amartka, if we're saying that it's the martka, and it's the dead meat or the veins that don't accomplish anything, so what's the difference? You have a kazayis or you don't have a kazayis? Kiki kazayis may have it. What's the difference? Eitz ba'almahu. So what's the difference if we do have or don't have a kazayis? Says the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows. Alibid Rabbi Yehuda like pligi. When Rabbi Yehuda speaks about the halal, everybody will agree that the halal means the meat that's left over in the hide. So far we've accomplished the following. Everybody agrees that the halal that's mentioned in the Pasuk in Eiv means the martka. Everybody agrees that the halal spoken about by Rabbi Yehuda is the meat that's left over. Ki pligi. So we started the shiur with a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Where is their machlokes? Pligi, I'll leave the Rabbanan. The machlokes according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, that Rabbanan say that the alal is mitzdarf with the meat. For Tumas Eichlin, says Rabbi Yochanan, what does that alal mean? Two definitions. Either the martka or the basar that's left over. Rish Lakish Omer, dafka basar shepaltas asakin. Even the Rabbanan are only speaking about the meat that's left over on the hide. Ava martka. Rish Lakish says that the opinion of the Rabbanan is, given that the martka, the Gemara, just to use the Gemara's words, eats for alma, it's nothing. Even martka, he will agree loy mitzdarif to the fetumas eichlin. So, in other words, the machlokes that we began the shiur with today about the definition of halal is only a machlokes. What the Rabbanan say is included in halal. Is it only basa that's left over, or including martka as well? The Rishonim also make the point that obviously the halal that we're discussing in today's shir is not acting as a shomer on the meat. Because we learned in the Mishnah, and we discussed this extensively already in the shiurim, is that shomer of basar is always mitzdarif for tumas eichlin. It must be in a place that it's not acting as a shomer. Continues the Gemara. Let's try to understand this. Hi, basar shapaltas sasakin hechidomi. We're saying that everybody agrees that halal is meat that's left over. So what is the situation? Asked the Gemara. Eat the chashvala. If this person intends to eat that meat, I feel bad for nafshim etamah. It's full-fledged meat and certainly subject to tumas nevela. Vida loy chashvala, and if he intends, it's meaningless and he has no need for it, betuli batle. So what is the case of the Mishnah that we need Rabbi Yehuda to tell us a chiddush? We need the Rabbanan to tell us the Chiddush that under certain circumstances it's mitzdarif. So the Gemara offers two terutzim. Rav Avin and Rav Meisha. One was said by Rav Avin, one was said by Rav Meisha. Charamar, Miktsasa Chishavala. So what Rashi explains is that there's two pieces of meat that were left over. One piece of meat he wants to eat, and one piece of meat he doesn't want to eat. But he doesn't remember which is which. Which is the piece of meat that he wants to eat, and which is the piece of meat he didn't want to eat. So to give it the din of meat, you can't, because maybe it's the meat that he has no intention to eat. To ignore it, you can't either. Why? Because it's maybe the meat that you want to eat. So therefore, the Mishnah paskens that it could combine with the existing meat, but it's not independent meat. Or the Mefarshim asked the question of Rashi. Rashi's explanation hasn't answered the Gemara's question. Because we're back to where we started. If you want to eat it, it's full-fledged meat. And if you don't want to eat it, the fact that you don't know shouldn't change anything. So the Mefarshim, in trying to define, to explain Rashi, say that the fact that you thought about one, and that is confusion, is enough to raise it up to the level that it could be mitzvah, that it could combine with existing meat. The Mashal says a very interesting pshat. He says he found this in an early manuscript of Rashi. He says, this is pshat. He says, what happened was like this. You have these two pieces of meat that you left over. And you know what's going on. This is the piece that you didn't... First you thought, this piece of meat I'm not going to eat. And then you thought about a second piece of meat on that hide that I will eat. The fact that you had a machshava on the second piece of meat that you're going to eat it sort of nullifies the first machshava. It shows that you do consider the leftover meat somewhat valuable. The fact that you intend to eat the second piece of meat. So what that accomplishes is that the first piece of meat that you thought that you won't eat, it doesn't turn into full-fledged meat, but it's enough meat that it could combine with existing meat. That's one teretz. V'charamar, miktsasa palta chaya, miktsasa palta sakin. Similar to something I said earlier in the shiur. One piece of meat was cut off by an animal, and I said earlier in the shiur, meat that's dispatched by an animal can be reattached. One piece was detached by people that can't be reattached. And again, Rashi says you don't know which one is what, so it accomplishes that much that it could be mitzdarf. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah, says in Masechta Taharis, Hachartim, which is the beak of a bird, Tziparnayim, and the nails of a bird, Metamim Umetamim, which means as follows, a very important point I need to make here. A bird that's in the vela, Nevelas Oiftar, the halacha is metama, but it's a very unique tumma. And we're going to speak about this more in today's shiur. It's the tumma of Beis Habliya, that when you eat that, it's only metama when you're actually eating that bird, that nevela, and when it's your Beis Habliya, when it's your throat. But interestingly, once it's in that point, it's a very high level tumma. It's metama even the clothing that you wear. But that's the only tumma it has. But let's say somebody, it doesn't have tumas eichlin. Why doesn't it have tumas eichlin? Because it's a nevela. We don't eat nevela. But let's say somebody intended to eat this nevela. So now it rises up to the level of tumas eichlin. And the Mishnah, Masechta Taharos, says that when we need to have the minimum shear, a kebeya of tumas eichlin, we could combine the beak and the nails. Metamim umetamim, they import and export tumma, umetstafim to the shear of kebeya. Ask the Gemara, why? Chatam eitz v'alma. The chatam is just a hard piece of eitz. So why does it combine? Amar v'lozer, b'chatam tachtan. It's the lower part of the beak. Ask the Gemara, tachtan nami eitz v'alma hu. What kind of a teretz is that? It's also still just a piece of wood. Answers the Gemara, Amar papa, tachtan shel elyon. It's the bottom part of the upper beak. And as the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, since the bottom part of the upper beak, what it accomplishes is, it's not really meat itself. But since it's near meat, and we're not saying that it's going to be meat on its own accord, it only combines with other meat, that much it can do, that given that it's near there, it's considered that it could combine. And again, here too, the Chazon Ish is disturbed, that why wouldn't it be considered a shomer? And a shomer, I said a moment ago, always combines. Similarly, asked the Gemara Tzapranayim, the nails are hard. How could we say that the nails combine? They're not meat at all. Amar Belazer, Makam Hamuvlam Bebasar. We mean the part of the nail right next to the skin, where the nail is somewhat soft, the claws are somewhat soft, and so much it accomplishes that it's not meat, but it could combine with existing meat to import and export tuma and to be mitzdar for the shear. Similarly, karnayim are the horns combined. Again, the same question. The horns are a piece of hard horn. How could you say that's meat? Again, says the Gemara, Amar Papa b'makom shechaytchim, the place where it connected to the animal, that if when you disconnect it from the animal, yotzadam, it would bleed. So again, since it's softer, it's considered enough meat that it can combine. Kiyatz by shech behema. The Mishnah spoke about if a guy or a Jew sometimes shecht an animal. And we need to say a word of introduction here. If a Jew shechts a behema, a kosher animal, a Jew shechts a kosher animal, so what is the halacha? We've learned extensively at the beginning of our Masechta that the shechita is what makes that meat permissible for us to eat. And since the shechita makes that meat permissible for us to eat, as soon as we do the shechita, even if the animal is still mefarches, the animal is still convulsing, we're allowed to eat it. We learned that many times because the shechita is the matter. And therefore, since you're allowed to eat the animal midoraisa, for sure, while it's still mefarches, it's subject to tumas eichlin, because it's already considered a food. That's one extreme. Now let's speak about a different extreme. A goy shechted a non-kosher animal. So we have two problems here. The shechita was done by a goy on a non-kosher animal. That act is a meaningless act. And the halacha, therefore, is the din that shechita is a matir. And as I said, therefore, you're allowed to eat the animal as soon as long, even when it's still mefarches, wouldn't apply there. A guy, if a guy kills an animal, we'll learn this explicitly, there's no din of pirchus by a guy. And if a guy eats an animal that's mefarches, he's eating eva menachai. And therefore, in such a case with the guy, and it's a non-kosher animal, the halacha will be, you have to wait till, the guy has to wait till after pirchus, and then he can eat the animal. But now there are two new cases. One case is when the Jew slaughtered a non-kosher animal with the intent that the goy should eat it, the way most mefarshim explain. So now, in this situation, we have a positive and a negative. The positive is that the shechita was done by a Jew. The negative is that it's a non-kosher animal. Or a goy shechts a kosher animal. And here too we have a positive and a negative. The positive is that it's a kosher animal. The negative is that it was a guy doing the shechita. So since we have a positive and a negative in these situations, the halacha is that the din of pirchus does apply, and that while the animal is still mefarchis, you would be allowed to eat from the animal. Obviously only a guy can eat from the animal, because for us it's non-kosher. And since it's allowed to be eaten, it's subject to tumas eichlin. When the animal, and we'll speak about this soon, the whole period of pirchus is a very short time. How long does the animal convulse? As soon as the animal completely expires, then it's a nevela, and tumas nevela sets in. So the halacha is that as long as it's mefarchis, it's subject to tumas eichlin. When it expires, it's subject to tumas nevela. Now let's start the Gemara. Amar Ravasi, Shainin, we've learned. Yisrael b'tameya, if a Jew does a ma'aseh shechita on a non-kosher animal, or oiv k'chavim, or a guy does a ma'aseh shechita on a tayr on a kosher animal, tzrichen machshava, their intent that it should be eaten, and the achrayim discuss extensively what does machshava mean here. Do you have to have the machshava of a Jew? Because perhaps the machshava of a non-Jew is not halachically considered a valid machshava. V'chech shemayim m'mokim achar. I've said a moment ago that these two situations, while the animal is still mefarches, it's subject to tumas eichlin. And we need to stop for a sec. What does tumas eichlin mean? We keep on using that term. What does tumas eichlin mean? What tumas eichlin means is that if a sheretz touches it, it will become tummy. So now, we know all foods, in order that they should become susceptible to tumas eichlin, have to become wet. So says the Gemara, yes, while they're mefarches, and there was an intention to eat them, they could be subject to Tumas Eichlim, provided that they had Hechsher, the liquid came on them. So all of you must be thinking the obvious question that all the Rishonim ask. We just killed the animal, so there was blood that came out. Why isn't that blood? Blood is one of the liquids that's Machsher. So why does it need a new Maisa Hechsher? So the Rishonim answer the question. Blood that has the ability to be Machsher is only in one of two ways. Either it was a valid Shechita, and the two examples we're speaking about here, it wasn't a valid Shechita. Either the Shechita was done by a Goy, or was done by a Jew on a non-kosher animal. So that blood doesn't have the ability to be Machsher. Or the other type of blood that has the ability to be Machsher is what the Pasuk calls Dam Chalolim. Because the Pasuk says Dam Chalolim Yishta. What is the definition of Dam Chalolim? Blood that came out if you kill the animal from the back. But here it didn't kill it from the back. You did a Shechita. The Shechita is from the front. So the blood couldn't be machsherit. So the Gemara is saying it needs a new Hechsher. Ask the Gemara, Hechsher Lamali, what does it require Hechsher? Soif l'tame tame chamura. What's going to happen, we said a moment ago. Yes, as long as it's mefarchis, it's subject to Tumas Eichlim. When it expires, it has Tumas Nevela. And as we said already in today's shir, Tumas Nevela is a very high level Tumah. And the rule is, the kosher soif l'tame tame chamura, any item that ultimately will have a tumah chamura by hechsher, then the requirement for hechsher falls away. And there's a machlokes rishonim. What does this line mean? Everybody agrees that hechsher isn't required. The Gemara is explicit. Some rishonim say even a bigger chiddush, that something that ultimately will have a tumah chamura, even though it wasn't exposed to a sheretz, as I just discussed, it already is considered la halacha as if it was touched by a sheretz. That much tumah it has already. So why does it require hechsher? So first the Gemara wants to prove this point. How do we know that something that ultimately is going to have a high level tumor, the din of Hechsher falls away? Says the Tanit Bei Rishmo. The Pasuk says, V'chiyute Mayer Alzera. The Pasuk that teaches us the din of Hechsher is the Pasuk that has to be, water has to be put on the seeds, that they should be subject to Tumas Eichlim. Maz Roim Sh'ein Soifon Tam Tchim Chamura. What is the characteristic of seeds? Left alone, they'll never come to Tumas Chamura. That's where the Torah says tzrich and hechsher, the hechsher is required. Av kol she'ein tzoif l'tam v'tom v'chamura, tzarech hechsher. V'tanya, and the Brisa says based on this, Om Rabbi Yossi, neima omru nevelas oif tor tzrich machshava. Again, we speak about a nevelas oif tor requires machshava, that it should be subject to Tumas Eichlin. V'ein tzrich hechsher, but it doesn't require hechsher. Neisha soifoi, because when it's a nevelas oif tahor, and we know that a nevelas oif tahor has that very high level tumah, the tumah de beis abliyah. So all the Rishonim ask, Rashi already asks it. Fascinating Rashi. What do you mean machshava? What are we talking about here? A dead chicken. Isn't a dead chicken food? What do you need machshava to make a dead chicken into food? That's food. It's not food for us. We're not allowed to eat it. But it's food for goyim. So Rashi says that in the times of Chazal, poultry was considered a delicacy. And the people who lived in the small villages never ate poultry. Only the people who lived in the cities who could afford to eat poultry. So therefore, this bird was killed in a village. They never think about eating poultry. So in order for it to be considered a oichel, tzricha machshav, you have to have a machshav. So I saw, based on this Rashi, a fascinating discussion. Most poskim say on yontif you have to eat meat, because simchas yontif, the Rambam says, for men, at least for sure, is bachilas basar. We're eating animal meat. Therefore, that some people, then every suda on yontif eat animal meat. What about people don't want to eat animal meat every yontif suda? So what about eating poultry? So the safe kli goyla uses our Gemara as a raya, that poultry may be considered a bigger delicacy than meat. Because what does the Rashi say? That only the people in the big city ate poultry. The people in the villages never ate poultry because it was too much of it was a delicacy that they never had. So we see that poultry may be considered even more of a delicacy than meat. And he quotes an interesting Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says that a famous mashal, that if somebody has a guest, so at a certain point, the guest overstays his welcome. So the Medrash uses the example. Yom Rishon, the first day, you're very happy with your guests. Machilei Ptumim, you give him poultry. Sheni Dogim, the second day you give him fish. Shlishi, on the third day you give basar. So it seems that poultry was more of a delicacy than meat. The first day you gave him the poultry, the third day you're only giving him meat. You started lowering the standards and you gave him meat. The Sefer Me'adim Zmanim says, interesting, that the halacha that you could be yoitza with achilas basar, it has to be freshly slaughtered meat. So if the meat wasn't slaughtered within the last 2 days before Yontif, that's not called quality meat. He paskins la halacha that everybody should eat what they enjoy. And if you enjoy poultry more, eat poultry. And if you enjoy a good steak more, eat your good steak. But again, as relevant to us, our Gemara is saying that the meat that was the animal, the kosher animal slaughtered by the goy, or the non-kosher animal slaughtered by the Jew, while it's mefarchis, is subject to tumas oichlim, provided that it got wet. Why does it have to get wet? When it's going to expire, it's going to have tumas nevela. And tumas nevela is a tumah chamura, so why is hechsher required? Answers the Gemara. Amar Chizkiya, choyav yichol legardai, ulamida pachs mikazayis. The shear to have tumas nevela is that you have to have a kazayis. While the animal's convulsing, while the animal's mafachs, you could cut into small pieces, that those small pieces will be less than a kazayis, and therefore, it'll never be subject. It's not soifle tamah tumas chamura. It will never come to a high level tumah because it's too small. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Ramban has a very big problem with Rashi. As we said a few moments ago, how long does this whole pirchas take? It takes a couple of moments. So you have a big animal, you could cut the animal's meat, all of the meat on the animal, in these few minutes, into less than pieces than a kazayas. How do we understand Rashi? So Tosfos says, you don't have to cut all the animal. Tosfos says, the fact that you could dismember the main organs is enough. Others say, we have to look at the wording of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say you have to cut it. The Gemara says legardai. Legardai doesn't mean even cutting. Just scraping will already accomplish. And others say, since you could cut some of the pieces to less than a kazayas, that's how to defend Rashi's pshat. The fact that you can't cut all of the pieces is adequate. Ask the Gemara, Omle Rabbi Yimiel, Rabbi Zeira, Omi Omar Chizkiya Hachi, is this indeed the opinion of Chizkiya, that there is no tumas nevela while the animal is mefarchis vitma shachba shnayim or rov shnayim. If you did a proper shchita on a non kosher animal, but dain him mefarcheses and now it's being mefarchis chizkiyah me'ein alavorim, this animal is considered dead, and since the animal is considered completely dead, it's not subject to the halacha of eva menachai. Rabbi Yochanan meyeshen alavorim, it's not considered dead, and it is subject to the halacha of Eva Menachai. Chizkiyah, and the Gemara explains itself. Ein elavarim, it's not subject to the halacha of Eva Menachai, because meisahi, the halacha considers it completely dead. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, holds, yeshna elavarim, it is subject to the halacha of Eva Menachai, lav meisahi, it's not considered dead. So how could Chizkiyah say that it's subject to Tumas Eichlim while it's Mefarchis, when Chizkiyah says that it's not considered alive and it's not subject to the halachas of Eivim Menachai? Says the Gemara, Chizkiyah has a new category. It's not alive anymore and therefore can't be subject to Eivim Menachai. But it isn't considered dead and therefore can't be subject yet to Tumas Nevela either until it completely expires. So says the Gemara again, Kufa, Shachba Shnaim Arav Shnaim, if a guy did a proper shchit on a kosher animal, Vadanim of Acheses, Chizkiyah Me'en Alei Varim, it's not subject to Eva Menachai, Rav Yochanan Yeshna Varim, it is subject to Eva Menachai. Omer Rav Elazar, says Rav Elazar, Nekoit Lahad Rav Yochanan V'yotcha. Rav Yochanan's position is the correct position. The Tani Rav Oishya Kavasei, Rav Oishya taught us a braisa that learned that paskins like Rav Yochanan. The Tanna Rav Oishya, because the Braisa says, Rav Oishya says, Yisrael Sheshach Behemah Tamei Levi Kachavim, a Jew shechted a non-kosher animal on behalf of an Akum, Shach Bashnaim Arav Shnaim, and he did a proper Shlita, Umefacheses and still Mefarches. So number one, as we've been learning, Metama Tumas Oichlim, it's already subject to Tumas Oichlim, Avaloi Tumas Nevelis, it's not yet subject to Tumas Nevelis because it hasn't yet expired, Eva Aparish Rimenu, if an aver is taken off while the pirchus takes place, kaparish menachai, it's considered like aver menachai, vasal b'nei noyach, and the ubasa parish menachai, and a piece of meat that's taken off from it is kabasa b'parish menachai. And as the mefarshim explain, what does the Gemara mean to say, what does the Brisa mean to say about aver menachai and basal menachai? So they explain as follows. Anything that's detached from an animal while it's alive is also to be eaten even by b'nei noyach. It all falls into the general category of basar menachai. But there's a new halacha that we've learned. That if you take off a limb, an aver, besides that obviously it's also to be eaten, it's metamek kenevela. And that's what the Braisa means. Aver that's taken off from it, aver parish menachai, an aver that's taken off from this animal while it's being mefarches, kaparish menachai, and will be tamek like an avela. Or basar, any meat that's taken off from it, including the aver that we just spoke about, HaParish Menach, Kabas HaParish Menachai, Vastu B'nai Noich, and B'nai Noich may not eat it, Afilach Shteitz Nafsha, even though it expires. But since it was taken off while the animal was halachically considered alive, because it's still being Mepharchis, and for a Goy, an animal that's Mepharchis, it's considered a live animal, that's why it's subject to Eiv Menachai. Continue the Braisa. Shachaba Echad Arev Echad. So the shechita was a meaningless shechita, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. For shechita to be valid, it has to be both simanim, or at least both roiv both simanim. So ena metama tumas oichlin. It's not metama tumas oichlin because it's not a food. It's a nevela. Gnachra ein by tumas oichlin. And if it was killed, even less than shechita, then it's also not subject to tuma, to any type of tumas oichlin. When it expires, it's subject to tumas nevela. The Rishonim, Rei Tosfos, asks, the why does the Braisa have to teach us both the case of Shachba Echra, Roiv Echra, and Nachra, and Halacha, they're both the same. Continues the Braisa, Vav Kacham Shachba Hem Tar Yisrael, if a Oiv Kacham Shechts an animal, that's kosher animal on behalf of Yisrael, Umefaches, then still being Mefaches, Metamet Tumas Oichlin, as we've been learning, it's subject to Tumas Oichlin, Avaloi Tumas Nevela, until it actually expires, it's not subject to Tumas Nevela. Furthermore, as we learned, the halach is that while it's in the state of Pirchus, Eva HaParish Menach HaParish Menachai, and we'll have Tumas Nevela, Bas HaParish Menach HaParish Menachai, and therefore any meat or limb that was detached during this Pirchus time, Asl B'nei Noach, will remain permanently forbidden to Noi B'nei Noach that may not eat Eva Menachai, but Filach Shteitz Nafshai. What about a Yisrael who shechted a kosher animal on behalf of a goy, but a shechita was a totally invalid shechita, because shachar by echad a roiv echad, he did a totally invalid shechita, ain't a matamah tumas oichlin. It's not matamah tumas oichlin, because that's not even a ma'aseh shechita, and therefore the halacha is until it actually expires, it's considered alive. A live animal is not subject to tumas oichlin. When it dies, it's in the veil. Nachra, and the same halacha will be by nachra, ain't by tumas shechlin. What about, says the Braisa, Shachar Oivik Kacham Mokum Sheinois is a Trefa. A guy shechted a kosher animal, partial Shechita, Ubar Yisrov Gomra, and then the Jew completed the Shechita, Kshera. It has the same halach as if the Jew would have done the whole Shechita. Because as long as the Jew did the majority of the Shechita, it's considered a kosher Shechita. However, on the other hand, says the Gemara, Shachar Yisrov Beim Mokum Sheinois is a Trefa, Beim Mokum Sheinois is a Trefa. The Jew began the Shechita. And completes the shechita. That shechita's psul is completely invalid because the guy did the ma'aseh shechita, and that's not a valid shechita. Says the Gemara, Haroitza miyachem behema kadem shetetzin nafshei. Obviously, they felt that meat, freshly slaughtered meat, was very healthy. So, if somebody wants to eat a piece of meat even before it dies, how could that ever be? Says the Gemara, Chaytach kezayis basmi beishchitasoi. Take the meat from where you slaughtered the animal, so that meat is already somewhat cut. Umalcha yafa yafa, or madicha yafa yafa. You have to salt it very well. And the Rishonim explain why. They say, normally, if you let an animal take its natural course after it's slaughtered, it groans and it bellows, and that causes that blood should spurt out of the body. And there's much less meat, there's much less blood in the animal's meat, and regular salting is adequate. Here, you cut the meat out right away. You didn't give it a chance to spurt out blood. So there's much more blood absorbed in that meat, and therefore better salting is required. But you can't eat the animal until it actually dies. You can't eat this meat until the animal actually dies, and then va'ochlei. Why? So Rashi explains, because the Torah says, l'soichlu al adam, and midrabbonon, that's the way most Rishonim explain Rashi, midrabbonon, we learn that that pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat the meat of an animal until it completely expires. So you want to get this meat that's obviously healthy, take it out right away, salt it well, but wait till the animal actually expires. And this rule applies both to Jews and Akum. Why? So there's a very important concept we have to say. For a Jew, because as soon as the animal is mefarkas, it's mutter. For an Akum, even though normally for an Akum perkas is not mutter, but the Gemara keeps on using the concept, it can't be that the meat should be mutter for us and also for them. So if this meat is mutter for us, it's a kosher animal. Slaughtered properly, it has to be mutter for them as well. And says the Gemara, Messiah of Idi Bar Oven, what we've just learned, it supports what Rav Idi Bar Oven said. Domar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Omar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashian, Harotu Shiyavri, somebody wants to eat healthy meat, Chaytach Kezayis Basar, Be Shchita, Omochi Yofi Yofa, Omadicha Yofi Yofa, Omantan Lai Chetetz Nafshoi, wait till actually expires because of Lesoich Ladam, or Echad Oivu Chavim, Echad Yisro Matarimba. Ask the Gemara, Boy Rav Elazar, Shoha Ba Doris Ba. We keep on speaking about the Jew doing a shechita on a non-kosher animal, the guy doing a shechita on a kosher animal. What will happen if the shechita was done, but it was done with shear, there was a pause, or we learned about this at the beginning of the Masechta, or with a drusa? What will be the halacha then? And as the Tzachnas Meneach, the Ragachev explains the Gemara. We've obviously learned in today's Gemara that if the Ovid Kachavim does a shechita, it's still subject to halacha is as if a Jew would have done the shechita. So there's a question, how do we understand that? Do we understand that the shechita of an akum, even though it's a disqualified shechita, isn't the end of the world? And therefore, shiur drusa is the same. Even though it's a defect in the shechita, that shouldn't change the halacha. Or are we to understand, you can't compare the disqualification of a goy versus the disqualification of shiur and drusa. Why? Shia and Drusa is a disqualification in the actual act of Shechita. The Shechita is an invalid Shechita. It's not a proper Shechita. When a girl does a Shechita, or when a Jew does a Shechita on a non-kosher animal, the Shechita is a good Shechita. It's the animal that's the problem. It's the person that's the problem. So the question is, how do we look at this? Amalei Husava, Hachem Rav Yoina, Tzricha Hechshe Shechita Ke Bo'heim Et Tahoira. Hechshlamai, Amar Shmuel Yitzchak, Bedikas Sakim. You even have to make sure that the knife is perfectly smooth. So obviously, if there was a shi or a drusa, it will not have the halakhs that we learned. Ask the Gemara another question. Barmnei Rav Zeir Mer Sheshes. Mat Shetatzel Al Bluin Shebetoicha. The halakh is that if an animal, a live animal, swallows any object, and it comes into the house with its tumma. Actually, this halakh would apply by people too, but we're talking about animals now. And it comes into us with its tumma. Anything that's in the body will not be subject to tumma. So you have this animal that's mefarchis and has something in it, and it's in a house with its tumma. It's in the same oil as tumma. Is it considered tumma belua, something that's belua and it won't be subject to tumma, or not? Amalei, betama tumma seichlin. We've said it's not considered a food. We're not considered a live animal. It's subject to tumas eichlin. It's obviously not considered a live animal. So how could you even suggest that a metzelis? Certainly, it's considered like a piece of food. And the halacha is that let's say you had a piece of food and something embedded in your piece of food, and it's an oil amase, it certainly becomes tummy. Now he asks another kasha. Amalei, any metamim tumas nevelis for leib matzel? But you're saying that it's not subject to tumas nevelis. So obviously, it's not considered dead. So maybe it should be matzel. So he didn't answer the question. Now he asks another question. So before he asks, says Abai, the fact that it's subject to tumas oichlim clearly indicates that it's not considered a live animal, And the halacha is that something in a live animal is not subject to tumah. The fact that it's subject to tumas oichlim makes it subject to tumas oichlim. But now there's a different question. What would be the halacha if while this animal in the state of pirchus, somebody mates that animal? And we learned that that's a serious isser. Chis mes bezin. Will it be considered there was roiver or not? So the ma, yes, it will be considered that it's still alive. The fact that it's not yet subject to tumas nevela shows that halachically it's considered alive and it's subject to isser reviyah. So the way Rashi seems to learn the Gemara is that we always go l'chumra. For hilchus tumah, we consider it an eichel. For hilchus reviyah, we consider it alive, which is a very hard shot. Particularly when it comes to kill somebody, we always try to avoid killing somebody. And our Gemara is saying, we'll kill him as if he made it an animal. So one shot that I saw is that avada midaraisa, it's considered a live animal. And therefore, midaraisa, since it's considered a live animal, a son of Rahman Salam was reveyed it, he would be chayiv misa. The fact that we said that it's not matzel, the new din, the rabbanon, that it's subject to tumah, only mid rabbanon, even though it should be saved from tumah, because it's tumah belua, still Chazal put on it a tumah de rabbanon, because since it's subject to tumas oichlim, Chazal felt that that's sort of self-contradictory, that it's to be subject to tumas oichlim and considered tumah belua doesn't work, so it's only mid rabbanon. So mid rice, it's considered live, mid rabbanon, luchumra, it's considered dead, and wouldn't have the din of tumah belua.